This is Off the Shelf with your favorite Helena College librarians, Della Doobie, Marianne George, and Jesse Pate. Today's special guests are Bessie Pretty Weasel and Donovan Lucibello.
All right, so let's.
It's so hard to make it sound casual.
I know.
Pretend I'm walking out of my office, and you guys are already here, right?
Okay.
Let's do that.
Okay.
Okay. Because that happens a lot.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You're the best at it because you always come upon us. We're just hanging out together.
Yes.
I mean, well, do you know what I mean? You're entering more than we are. We'll both say hi to Della. That'll be perfect.
Okay. So we'll pretend like I'm walking out. Marianne's sitting at the desk, and you're in the back.
That's it. Visualize. Okay.
Hi, Marianne. How's it going, Jesse?
Hi, Della.
Hi, Della.
So we're going to be talking with Bessie Pretty Weasel and Donovan Lucibello, and they are non-traditional students here at Helena College.
So I took the long way here. After high school, I graduated second in my class. I wanted to go to pre-med to be a pediatrician. And then at the last minute, I changed my mind and changed my school and my major and everything and went to a completely different academic path. From there, I graduated and joined the military, which put me on a career path for the next 10 or so years with defense contracting.
Donovan Lucibello is a non-traditional student at Helena College. He is pursuing a dual major of nursing and science.
And then sort of got to a point in my life where I wanted to be a husband and father more than I wanted to be running around the world and saving the world. So I made a commitment to myself, if I could live through one more deployment overseas, I was going to go to nursing school, and nursing specifically was what I wanted to do. So in doing so, there's more than one university in Montana. So I had just gotten back from overseas on a Saturday and drove all the way from Northwest Montana down to a large city where this other university was to inquire about a nursing program that they had. And at the end of the exchange, was pretty much convinced that it was not for non-traditional students. It was for those who are 19 without attachments.
Like many non-traditional students, Donovan balances a full-time job and family obligations with a rigorous school schedule.
But in some of those times when you have to reach deep for options, you come up with some pretty creative thinking. So I had come across a corporate email about a job positioning opening in Helena, which I could transfer to, which was pretty sweet. And then I just started looking around for schools in Helena and spoke with the nursing department here and Sandra Sacri, specifically the dean of nursing here, and found out that this was, in fact, very much a non-traditional friendly program. And so that pretty much settled it.
Donovan's interest in nursing is partly because of his family. His mom and sister are both nurses. His other motivation is what he calls the endless wonder of biology. In spite of earning a large income in defense contracting, Donovan began reevaluating his life and what was important to him.
I had indirectly been in the process of taking life for 15 years, and I wanted to move away from that. I didn't want that to be my legacy. And job careers that are attached to federal spending cycles and things like that can be very lucrative, but in the end, they're very volatile too. And so I knew that I needed not just a job that paid well, but a career that would allow me to be home. That's what I wanted to do.
So have you discovered any advantages to being a non-traditional student at Helena College?
You certainly have a very acute sense of reality in that your ability to perhaps not do well or retake a class or something like that is very much less than what you ordinarily would. And so with that kind of pressure, I would say that you have to have a strong sense of resolve. But
so it sounds like your life is hectic and exciting. Do you find as an older student you're able to manage your stress better now?
Yeah, perhaps. Yeah, without a really good data set to compare against, I would say that I think I do fairly well. Perhaps you should be interviewing my wife, you ask her. But there's just a certain sense of, I guess, perspective and scale that you can apply, you know, to when you have professional experience, you realize that not everything you have to do has to be A-plus work. You know, that's a big relief. You know, it'd be like, if I get this done, I turn it in and I get the points, then I can just move on and not have to have such an emotional attachment to something. That certainly does help. And also, I think it's important that my children see that, you know, and education is in fact valuable, that I was willing to, in one sense, change careers, essentially withdraw from the workforce in one sector to engage in a different sector and move across the state to pursue something like this. But the ultimate goal would be to be home with them, and hopefully I see them making that connection that the calculation was there and that it was in fact valuable, and hopefully they won't go down the same path that I did.
Although there are challenges to entering college later in life, it is not by any means insurmountable. Donovan draws from life lessons to help him stay motivated and focused.
When you have people depending on you, certainly feel a pressure to excel. And perhaps it's that intrinsic motivation that is the strongest of all. You know, you can't train the initiative to do something. You have to fall down and decide you want to get back up. And that's where those kind of life lessons come from. So without having failed many times at many different things in a setting where it was okay to do so, I think that kind of puts me in a place where I can go through something and then not only, you know, have that feather in my cap, but essentially realize you haven't made the world a better place by achieving something yourself until you've reached back behind you and pulled somebody else along.
More from Donovan in just a few minutes. But first, let's make your life a little bit easier. Don't work so hard. Make your life easier. Take a shortcut. A techie shortcut for some relief.
Hey, this is Jesse, and this is your shortcut for today. I thought I would take it literally this time and tell you about some keyboard shortcuts that you might not know about. I see a lot of people even trying to do like copy and paste by doing the whole right click and moving down, but there's easier ways to do a lot of things on the computer. So I have your top 7 Windows shortcuts. And these are all for Windows. I'm sorry, I'm not a Mac person. I did not research the Mac ones, but you could try everything I told you with the command key and see what happens. And let me know.
Number 1.
We all know about the dreaded hanging indent, and I'm sure many of you have stayed up many late nights trying to get this to work. You can just highlight your citations and hit Control T.
Number 2.
If you've got a web page, a Word document, a PDF, and you want to find the section in the document that's talking about something specific, you want to find a specific word in a document, all you have to do is hit Control F, as in Frank, and it gives you a little search box. You can type in whatever word you're looking for, and it'll find that word in the document, which is great when you have like some super long report to read and you just need one part of it.
Number 3.
If you've ever made a mistake, we all know about the undo button up at the top of most Microsoft Office products, but you can also hit Control Z to undo something, and Control Y will redo whatever you just undid.
Number 4.
If you want to select all of the text in a document, and clicking and holding and dragging and scrolling is just too tedious for you, all you have to do is hit Control A, and that will select your whole page, your whole web document. It's amazing.
Number 5.
Is really handy if you're on the web and you want to open a new tab in your browser. Control T, same shortcut for the hanging indent, but in the web, it opens up a new tab.
Number 6.
If you've ever accidentally closed a tab and you want to get back to where you were but you don't remember, All you have to do is hit Control Shift T, and that'll reopen a tab that you closed on accident. It has saved my life many times, sometimes in important ways and sometimes in not important ways.
Number 7.
This one I thought was really cool. If you have a million things open and you just need to get to your desktop quickly, instead of minimizing all those windows, all you have to do is hit Windows M, as in Mary, and that will minimize everything and get you back to your desktop. There's also on Windows 7 this funny little rectangle next to the clock in the bottom corner, and if you put your mouse over it, it'll temporarily show you your desktop.
All right, well, I am happy to welcome and introduce Bessie Prettyweasel, a pre-nursing student at Helena College. And I've known Bessie for, it's turning into a long time. So Bessie first came to Helena College in the spring of 2008 as a student, and then she came to the library in the fall of 2008 as a work-study student. And she worked with us for 2 years and then went on and did other things and is back at Helena College finishing up her pre-nursing in anticipation of transferring to Montana State University next year as a nursing student. And Bessie, I have always admired because she is a determined student. She's an excellent student, and she is also a non-traditional student. She's taken a different road than a lot of students have and has been really successful. So I guess the first thing that we would like you to share with us a little bit is just kind of your road to how you got to Helena College and how you chose nursing as your career path.
Well, I came to Helena in December 2005, and I've been here ever since. Just needed a place to go, new start, so here I am. I didn't start out with nursing. I originally wanted to do administrative in the medical profession, but I got a job in that at Blue Cross, did not enjoy it. It was not for me. So then I decided to come back to school and pursue a degree in nursing. And I chose nursing, I don't know. My mom was a nurse for 30 plus years. A lot of my sisters work in the health field. Just, it's always been there. It'd be a challenge.
We will continue our conversation with Bessie in a moment.
Hey there, Helena College students, library users, and podcast listeners. If you have any library concerns that you want to air, talk to a librarian. You can visit us on the Donaldson campus. You can email us at library@umhelena.edu. You can call at 406-447-6943, or you can even text us at 406-443-0888. Come see us.
We're back. Bessie and Della discuss the challenges of being a full-time student and raising two young daughters.
I do have a family. I have two daughters. My oldest is 8. Her name is Victoria. And my youngest, her name is Deanna, but we call her Baby D or Baby D Rose. She's 3.
And does it get complicated sometimes being a student and a mother?
Yeah. I'm a single mother, so that, you know, obviously there is that obstacle. Father's not in the picture, so it's just me and my girls, and it is hard because I don't like taking night classes because then I'm not there for them to pick them up from school or from daycare.
So has it been easy for you to fit your schedule into the day to accommodate their schedule?
For the most part, I don't live next to my family, so right. I have 2 friends who are really, really helpful and helping me pick up the girls or watching them until I get off. And that way they're not with strangers, you know, so that's really important. It's just hard because I don't get home until anywhere between 5:30 and 7, Monday through Thursday this semester. So I don't feel like I'm seeing enough of them.
And it is hard. When I was raising my kids, my husband was gone a lot and on different details and things. And you always have to worry about being there at the mm-hmm. right times or making sure that they have good care. And
yeah.
it's just constantly in the back of your mind.
And it's definitely been harder for, I think, Tori, just because she's used to me picking her up after school, and we go home or we go out and, you know, we'll window shop or just spend some time together. And it's been, I think, harder on her because she doesn't get that one-on-one time with me. She doesn't feel like she sees me enough, and that makes me feel really bad.
But you think your career is worth it.
I do. I feel an education and a career in nursing is definitely worth it. And I tell her that as well.
Even though you're not spending all the quality time you want to with her now, you're modeling behavior that you want her to emulate later.
Yes, because she sees me doing homework at night, you know, she comes down for a water bottle or whatever, and she sees me talking about an education, and she's picking up on that. You know, she's one of the top students in her grade, and definitely think she's taken after me for that.
I still say that modeling is the only way we learn anything.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that modeling that behavior will pay off in the long run, even though it might be sad for you now not to get to spend the time with her.
Yes, there are some sacrifices I've had to make,
but
it's worth it. Yeah. It'll be worth it in the long run.
Although Bessie's educational journey is not over, she sees the rewards that her education will bring to both her and her daughters. And she is confident in her decisions and her ability to succeed as a student and parent. If you're thinking about transferring, get in touch with your advisor who will help you chart your course. This is Marianne, and I'd like to share a book review of Wild, a hiking memoir by Cheryl Strayed. So the book Wild is a really interesting book, and it's not a new book, but I reread it recently. And the book is a story about a woman named Cheryl Strayed, who at the age of 26 decided to hike the Pacific Crest Trail. And the Pacific Crest Trail is a 2,650-mile trail that runs from Mexico to Canada. And Cheryl decided that she was going to hike an 1,100-mile section of it from California to Oregon, which sounds like a daunting task for anyone, but the fact that Cheryl had never hiked before brought pretty much all the wrong equipment or way too much equipment, and through the book did just about everything wrong you could possibly do as a hiker, makes it a much more interesting book. I think that the most compelling thing about this book was when I started the book, for the first like five chapters, I just thought, you know, she was an idiot, and I really disliked her. And as I continued to read the book, I started to realize that she intentionally wrote about herself in not a pleasant life. At the age of 22, her mother passed away. And as you discover through the story, her mother was really the center of her life, her brothers and sisters' lives, and her stepdad's life. And when her mom passed away, literally her life unraveled for 4 years. And even her trip on the Pacific Crest Trail was somewhat accidental. She accidentally found a book about the trail when she was standing online at REI or something and picked it up and decided that she was going to go. So without telling you too much about the book, because I think you will enjoy how it unfolds, the things I liked the best about the book is that Cheryl moves back and forth between the challenges of being on the trail and the challenges of her life in a very smooth and very well-written way. You know, you're very interested in both aspects of both what's happening with her presently on the trail and when she thinks back to her life. So she does an excellent job about that. And I liked her much better by the end of the book. She doesn't make excuses for herself. She just tells it like it is. She owns her mistakes, which there are many and many on her trail. And I was just recently having a conversation with some friends about the book. And to just give you one example of what I always feel like is fate or serendipity, the book opens with her trying to pack her backpack, getting ready for the trip. And she meant to practice hiking with a full backpack before she left for the hike, but she just never got around to it. So we see her in the hotel in California trying to pack, I don't know, 50 pounds of supplies into this backpack. And literally, once she gets the backpack packed and it's sitting on the bed in the hotel room, she cannot stand up because of the weight of this backpack. But what we observed in our book discussion was that if she she had packed the backpack before she started the trail, we're pretty sure she would have never taken the hike. So maybe the fact that she was so unprepared made her able to do it because she didn't even see the challenges that she was going to face. It's a great read, and I know a lot of people have read it, but if you haven't had a chance to read it, I highly recommend it.
Hi, this is Della Duby at the Helena College Library, and I wanted to share with you the Research Prize. It was created to reward students who take the time to develop a thoughtful, methodical, and scholarly approach to the research needed for their papers and projects, and to encourage students to develop the information literacy skills needed for lifelong research. First prize is a $75 gift card from the bookstore. Second prize is a $50 gift card from the bookstore. And submissions may include papers, videos, speeches, web pages, anything with a research component. You have to get an A minus or better. The spring semester deadline is May 15th, and that award will be combined with any submissions in summer and will be awarded in the beginning of fall semester. You can find all the details on the Helena College Library website. It's on the left-hand toolbar under Library Research Prize. Last semester we had three winners, Jordan Mitchell, won first place, Donovan Luchabello, second place, and Maria Murphy, third place, and they all had wonderful submissions. Next thing I'd like to say is congrats to the graduates. Graduation will be May 9th at the fairgrounds at 11 o'clock. I went last year and I plan to go this year. It's really great to see all the students that we've been helping and been seeing study in the library actually graduate. It's really exciting for them and us. Thanks for listening.
Off the show.
Pick the least convenient time of the semester, and that's when your hard drive is going to crash.
Let's continue our conversation with Donovan. He's going to share some tips with us about how to be a successful student.
So as far as like engaging the academics, I think it's especially for nursing school when you have the information you're responsible for divided by time, you have to do it all. You know, that always seems to be skewed. Learning the reduction process is crucial. So what's the reduction process? Is where you take in the lecture material, you take in the reading material, and whatever else you get from either internet searches or using your great librarians you have here to help you with books or YouTube or whatever other data you're going to wrap your arm around, or say you're learning the central nervous system or whatever. Being able to like frame that in and then reduce that down to a set of flashcards that you can review, like learning that process, that reduction process, is absolutely critical. Without it, and without the spaced repetition, you don't ever master that system of the body, or whether it's chemistry or whatever. You never get to master that, and you want to be a good practitioner and a good system level thinker when it comes to the human body, because it is a very finely balanced thing. It's not just a seesaw, it's more like a plate, you know, where it's like infinite points of things that can throw off the balance, and you have to understand how they all maintain homeostasis. And so doing that would, you know, that reduction process is critical, because you only have so much time, so you have to get the low yield content out of your way and just focus on what you need to know. And as far as flashcards, I would definitely recommend Anki, A-N-K-I. It's a free program for your Android or PC, or I believe it's a paid for app with the Apple, but it's definitely worth the money. And with that, you can do a division of labor. If you have students in your class that are also serious, you can say, okay, if you can type out the vocab terms, I'll get pictures and put them in there, and you can have a great set of electronic flashcards. Again, that's in perpetuity. Not everybody has to develop them. You can just share infinite copies around. So that's very good. Also, on a lot of the, especially with the Pearson textbooks now, there's like a whole online session, like Mastering Microbiology, Mastering Anatomy and Physiology, Mastering Chemistry, whatever. Look for the MP3s that are in there. If you're pressed for time, or if you have a commute from Townsend or something, grab those MP3s. They'll give you a quick drive-by shooting of what the professor's going to be talking about anyways in broad strokes, and you can walk in and get easily two or three times the amount of information out of the same lecture as you would have going in cold, which I would not recommend anyways. I would always recommend reading the chapter before you go to lecture, because at that point you have context. When you have context, you can immediately start framing things in. As far as the textbook goes, I just say read it once through, highlight the big points. when you go to lecture, take notes in the margin, and then that becomes your study material because you've reduced it down. And then last but not least, and this is, I'm saying this with all seriousness, is since I run such a small margin for sleep and constantly need high cognitive throughput, I take fermented cod liver oil because it's ridiculously high in the fat-soluble vitamins. And by doing so, I find that it really boosts brain power and cognitive ability that would otherwise not be able to always marshal those resources on demand. And I can definitely notice when I don't take it. Hope that helps.
More so than any other department on campus, the library serves the whole Helena College community and the larger Helena community. 81% of our students are from Lewis and Clark and neighboring counties. We have many active programs on campus serving a diverse community of students, as well as staff and faculty. We serve ABE, Access to Success, TRIO, Veterans, Voc Rehab Referrals, Dual Credit, as well as traditional, non-traditional students, if that makes sense. These students are attending part-time, are over 25, and have family and or jobs. In 2014, our enrollment was 25% under 18, 38% 18 to 24, which is what we think of as traditional students, and 37% 24 and over. All of our services are available to the community of users we serve, with the exception of off-campus access to databases. Community borrowers, those who are not enrolled at Helena College, do not have college IDs or net IDs and cannot access the databases remotely. They do, however, have access to everything when logged in the library. We have a wide variety of services. We have a targeted collection of physical items, books and DVDs, including popular fiction and nonfiction, as well as online access to databases and services through our library website. We offer reference help on-site, email, telephone, chat, and text. And we offer a scheduled book a librarian service for one-on-one help to students. We offer online research tutorials and other tutorials, and subject and class guides developed by class, course, and subject. All of these services are great, but most important is that all are carried out with a helping attitude. Student and user access, whatever the need, comes first. In order to serve this diverse community, our relationship with our users is most important. All three of our librarians, myself, Jesse, and Mary Ann, put service first and try to be as welcoming, flexible, and accommodating as we can be.
It's been really rewarding and interesting talking to a couple of our non-traditional students here at Helena College and learning about their challenges and successes. I think that the students that we serve here at the library really reflect the diverse population on campus at Helena College.
And really make us question the term non-traditional, which has in the past been over 25, but now includes dual credit and all the other students we serve that are under 18, and a large number of students that are over 25 as well as other programs at the college. So it makes our life interesting here to serve all of these different types of students.
Thank you to Donovan and to Bessie for sharing their stories. And a big thank you to See the Camp Sound for letting us use your equipment. Off the Shelf is produced by Jennifer Murphy. And if you like any of the songs you heard today, check out the podcast summary for more information. Thanks for listening.